next public hearing is change of zone number 2016, Marlin Cove LLC. And our next three applications are related. Conditional use number 2459, Marlin Cove LLC, and subdivision 2023-08, Marlin Cove. It's my understanding that the applicant has requested to have the presentations of these three applications consolidated into one presentation, since they are integrally related to one another, and we are going to allow that. And with that, Mr. Whitehouse, if you'd like to introduce the applications and perhaps give us a little explanation as to why this is being done this way.
Sure, can do, Mr. Chairman. So the first application is change of zone 2016 filed on behalf of Marlin Cove LLC. This is an ordinance to amend the comprehensive zoning map of Sussex County from an AR1 agricultural residential district to an MR medium density residential district for a certain parcel of land lying and being in Baltimore 100, Sussex County, containing 60.84 acres more or less. The property is lying on the west side of New Road, which is Sussex County Route 391, approximately 65 feet north of Lighthouse Road, which is Route 54. The 911 address is not available, and the tax parcel ID is District 533, Map 19, Parcel 7.00, 8.01, and 9.00. The second application is conditional use number 2459, also filed on behalf of Marlin Cove LLC. This is an ordinance to grant a conditional use of land in an MR medium density residential district for multifamily dwellings, which is 106 units, to be located on certain parcels of land lying and being in Baltimore 100, Sussex County, containing 23.9 acres more or less. The property is lying on the west side of New Road, which is Sussex County Route 391, approximately 65 feet north of Lighthouse Road, which is Route 54. The 911 address is not available, and the tax parcel ID is District 533, Map 19, Parcels 7.00 and 8.01. And finally, we have subdivision reference 2023-08, known as Marlin Cove. This is a coastal area cluster subdivision to divide 60.84 acres plus or minus into 107 single family lots and 106 duplex housing unit lots on 53 lots. The proposal, so that's duplex housing units on 53 lots, correction. The properties are located on the west side of New Road, which is Sussex County Route 391, approximately 65 feet north of Lighthouse Road, which is Route 54. The 911 address is not available, and the tax parcel ID is District 533, Map 19, Parcel 7.00, 8.01, and 9.00, and the zoning district is AR1 Agricultural Residential District. Submitted into the record, Mr. Chairman, we have a copy of the applicant's preliminary subdivision plan and a copy of the conditional use site plan. We have a copy of the applicant's exhibit booklet. We have a copy of the applicant's environmental assessment. We have a copy of technical advisory comments, including comments from the U.S. Department of Agriculture. We have a copy of the staff analyses. We have a copy of the DLDOT service level evaluation response letters. We have a copy of letters received from the Sussex County Engineering Department, Utility Planning Division. We have a copy of the applicant's drainage assessment, and we have a copy of the applicant's resource buffer management plan. And I would note that we have received one letter, which is included in your paperless packet. To just provide us a summary, Mr. Chairman, that we have three applications, which is slightly unusual when we have the same development. The conditional use relates to part of the site, and the change of zone relates to part of the site, and the subdivision relates to the entirety of the site, which is why the acreage and tax parcel numbers are different. Essentially, what we have is three applications. One is an application to subdivide the site to create 107 single family homes, and then we have an application to rezone the site to MR zoning, which allows for a conditional use for 53 duplex lots for a total of 213 homes across the entire parcel. And the applicant is going to speak to this in their presentation as to why the applicant chose to submit these three applications in this manner. The applicant may wish to speak to that. There are simpler alternatives available, like a residential planned community. I think the applicant just favored this approach, and maybe the applicant can speak to that approach as part of the presentation.
Okay. Yes, sir, Mr. Willard.
Tim Willard with Fuquay, Willard and Schaub. So he said, I may wish to speak to it. Does that mean it's optional?
Let me I think it'd be a great place to start.
No, I agree with you. Let me just say, I was late to the party. Our firm got involved several weeks ago, and Mr. Fuqua and I spent a lot of time with this, scratched our heads somewhat, as you are, Mr. Chairman. And the initiation of this effort began in 2023, and it was suggested, I think, and this is somewhat speculation, it should be an RPC, an MRRPC, I think. But in any event, it was suggested not to necessarily go that route, this is my understanding, because it didn't have any commercial, which obviously is not a necessity. So you have this complication that was articulated rather well. In fact, when we were introduced to the application and asked to help them out with it, we met with Mr. Whitehouse and questioned some things about it and realized this is how it went. And how he articulated is they want it to be MR so they can get the density, right? And in MR, you can do a coastal cluster, which gets you to 7,500. And the underlying density has to be the MR density, which is 4 per acre. And so they have 60.84 acres, which gives them that density over the whole site. And they've proposed a subdivision with 3.5. And the other, in addition to the MR, where they get the coastal cluster, they get the conditional use. It's a permitted conditional use to do multifamily, which is the duplexes. So I don't have a good answer. It might have gotten off on the wrong foot. There were some pre-application meetings with the county, I believe, but I'm not privy to any of that. So we're here, and I think it can be done. The presentation I have, and I appreciate you combining it all, I think it makes sense to treat it as one subdivision, a cluster subdivision in a coastal area where you have this added conditional use feature. Where it might complicate things a little more is it's got to get to council with approval before you can actually act on the subdivision. I may be wrong about that. Mr. Robinson may have an opinion about that. But that's just one complication that Jim and I were just scratching our heads a little bit. But
I think it can go forward. The subdivision, you couldn't grant preliminary approval without the necessary underlying zoning to support it. So that would have to be held in abeyance until this got through county council.
And it's scheduled for June 10th. Yeah. That's my answer. It's not necessarily an answer. It's just what happened kind of
okay.
A thing.
Yeah, I get it.
I don't think the nature of the application and the location and what they want to do is unusual for what they're trying to do, which is what my presentation's sort of all about. I don't want this strange procedural posture to taint those reasons. So, but if I can go forward then.
Sure, of course. Go ahead.
So, I haven't introduced my client here. This is Russ Carufi. It's a little unusual because he owns these parcels, and I'll talk about the parcels in a minute. He lives across the street on New Road. He has for years. He built a lot of Sea Colony over the years, and he's got a business, Atlantic Building Associates, which has a pretty large footprint down in Maryland as well here. He's got a boat business, so he's been around for a while. So he's not just an equity owner in this. He's grown up or been across from the property for some time. Rich Polk is with Vista Design as well as Eric Jones. You know Ed Lunay, who's down here, who did the drainage in the
Dr. Lunay. Dr. Lunay.
It's ever present. I think he sleeps here maybe. So I'm gonna go through a PowerPoint. The first thing I wanted to talk about in my outline was what you asked about, Mr. Chairman, and what you talked about, just as the sort of procedural posture of where we are in relation to the application of law. So I'm gonna put some meat on the bones down the way, but I don't need to talk about that anymore. Okay. I mean, what is kind of unusual is the coastal cluster, if you can call it that, allows for the 7,500 square foot, but it's different in some respects because it doesn't drag in all the elements of an AR cluster. It has its own element of requiring you to provide an environmental assessment and public facility evaluation. So we've addressed those in the application. They're in Exhibit G in your book. And we've also actually addressed what otherwise would be an AR cluster, because it makes sense to sell the project, actually. The property itself, and if we can go to slide two, I don't know who's in charge of the property location is west of Fenwick. It's right off New Road, just 100 feet north of Route 54. There are three parcels, 7, 8, 8.01 and 9.00. It's obviously between Selbyville and Fenwick. As I said, they're 100 feet north of Lighthouse Road, which is Route 54. If all are pretty familiar with this intersection, there to the east is where Bayside is, and rather large commercial area with a shopping center and I think Harris Teeters. And as you go left, there are other businesses, Braziers. And as we'll see later, there's been a lot of approvals. Just last summer, you approved an MR conditional use, but it was conditional use for condos just across the street, the DH parcel. I listened to Mr. Hutt's presentation recently on that. It's partial farmland in the eastern section, the western section. There's some forest. I'll show you a little later that much of the forest has been clear cut and is growing back. That's the location. If you can go to the next slide. So that's the subdivision, as you can see, and it's on the right hand side is New Road, and you see Lighthouse Road right down there on Route 54. If you go that way right, then you go to the shopping center, Zion Road and Americana Bayside. So the first bottom eastern portion of it, that horseshoe down there, that's where the duplexes are. And then you go north there is where all the single family homes are. It's planned to have 53 duplexes, which would be 106 homes. And then the north, it would be 107 single family homes. And as I said, the density is 3.5 units per the acre. Fine. This just shows the open space that we have. You see the stormwater ponds. We'll talk about Roy Creek in a little bit. There's one creek that goes through there, and that's sort of an ephemeral ditch that leads from it, from the farmland. But as far as the open space requirement, there's 30% required. We have 18, which would be 18.25 acres. We have 32.4 acres of open space, which is almost 20 acres, 19.69. You can also see there's a 30-foot forested buffer around the entire property, which most of it already has forest in that area. So that'll be preserved, all 30 feet around it. The blue is the stormwater ponds, as you can see, and the gray is some impervious area, which is just the roadways. Sidewalks on at least one side of all the roads. Then the next slide is just a close-up of the northern single-family area. You see now in green the forested buffer around the end. If you look at the right-hand, top right-hand corner, that's where there's a path to the multimodal and to New Road. We'll talk about the DLDOT approval shortly. And you see the two entrances. So there's a separate entrance to the northern part, the western part with the single family, and it's connected in the middle where around the stormwater pond, and next to the stormwater pond are the amenities, which we'll talk about a little bit later. Slide, please. And there's just a close-up of the southern portion, which shows the stormwater in the middle. And then there's a sidewalk on one side all the way around, and just a large horseshoe. That's the southern portion is largely the parcel 7 and 801, and that's where the 53 duplexes would be. So here are the DLDOT improvements. This was subject to a TOS and an AWA, where you all know what those acronyms mean, whereas this was a study area and the developer is going to be required to pay for any improvements. And the improvements that have been suggested when they did the 2S and that the DLDOT's engineer approved it all were to do right turn lanes on New Road and a right turn lane on, we can see up there, They're going to improve the frontage. There'll be road dedication. The right side of New Road won't be touched. Widening of DelDOT standards across frontage, subdivision entrances, each with right turns lane into the neighborhood. There's a multi-use path also on their property. At the New Road intersection, they're going to have a left turn from the eastbound 54 to New Road and a right turn from the westbound. And the developer will be responsible for those improvements. There's a close-up of what I've just described. Rich Polk is here if you have any questions on these intersections. I want more detail at this point. Otherwise, I'll march on. They're pretty clear and standard, and you've seen them before. I think the important thing is they're not touching the other side, and they're going to have enough room to have a multimodal and have one right turn lane. That's what they said would be required based on the study of what goes on there. I think the next slide will show the next intersection. That's the one into the duplexes, much a similar design. This shows the amenities. There's a community center, community room, vast changing room, pool deck, pool. There's parking there. There's going to be a tot lot and a space for a playground or pickle court. It's centrally located, so it'll be easily accessed. And there's also ample is not the right word, but there's some parking there for people that don't want to walk or ride their bike. So this is the wetland, and it's a regulated non-tidal wetland. And I think now I would, if I could, Mr. Chair, could I call Ed Linnae up now to describe that area?
Yep.
Because it looks a little complex. There's Roy Creek there, but the bottom line is to the left side of that, it's pretty much dry most of the time, but they're going to be improving all the drainage that comes that way. It's more south to north, maybe. Ed, do you want to describe this little detail? And he did the buffer report as well as the drainage report.
So I'm Ed Linnae from Environmental Resource Insights, professional wetland scientist. And so the green area on the drawing up there is the delineation of the wooded wetland on the property that is drains into Roy Creek. So as you can see, there's a culvert and a ditch indicated that kind of bisects the wetland area. And I think what kind of Tim wanted to explain, when you look at some guidance maps out there, and again, the guidance maps are just that, guidance, it shows Roy Creek coming up to the wetland with a culvert under the road. And of course, Roy Creek eventually drains out and becomes Roy Creek and goes into one of the inland bays. And essentially, the flow at the point of the road where that culvert is intermittent in nature. And essentially, then, as you go through the green area, the shaded area, which is the wetland, that channel itself really becomes seasonally dry. So I, classified that as an intermittent stream that has some flow throughout certain times of the year. And then beyond that, there's a drainage ditch network that goes here, here, and off the property. And then another drainage ditch that runs this way, and again, off the property here. So these drainage from parcels to the west can drain to this point and come on to the property and drain to this point, then basically draining through an ephemeral drainage channel. So not a stream, but an ephemeral channel till it gets to the wetlands here. And from this point on, this is a intermittent stream channel that's associated with the green regulated wetland. And then adjacent to that wetland are the required Zone A and Zone B buffers of 30 feet. The blue area is an additional 15 feet of expanded resource buffer that was voluntarily done just to add, you know, as a good planning practice, where we could widen the buffer to the maximum that it could be under the resource code. That's what we did. And then the yellow area that abuts that is an additional forest retention area that will be, and that all of which would be protected under a declaration of covenants. So we have a forest retention area. We have an expanded blue area, 45-foot buffer. This area, the white area surrounding the wetland, is the required 30-foot buffer, and then the wetland itself, the stream going through it, all of which will be preserved. And I would mention, just as part of the drainage assessment, getting slightly off topic, but we're talking about the drainage channels. So over the years, those channels are very shallow. And there's vegetation that has grown up in them. They, you know, basically need some maintenance. So as part of the drainage assessment report and as part of the proposed project, all the ditches that I just pointed out are going to be reconstructed. And then essentially the culvert, which currently is only an 18-inch culvert under the road there, that's going to be expanded to a much larger size box culvert as part of the roadway expansions. So, you know, really the intention is to whatever drainage comes onto the property to basically redo and modernize that whole system so that it would be up to standard. So that's all I have, Dan.
Thank you.
What's proposed out there, would that improve maybe any issues that are going on the other properties to the south?
Yeah, well, certainly to the extent that those ditches do carry water, and as I said, they're ephemeral. So, you know, they carry water kind of when it rains. They don't regularly carry water. But as far as, you know, draining water, yeah, all the ditches would be cleaned, reconstructed, and any kind of obstructions would be removed. And again, the culvert is going to be upgraded under the.
Can I see the next slide, please? Yeah, this is just a picture, and I think it was 2012 or 11 that the forests were select cut, if you would, and they took all the good stuff. So pretty much now it's I think categorized as a scrub forest. One of the stormwaters on the top right. It's not wetlands at all. They created the stormwater there because all the work they did there, they created a natural depression, maybe an unnatural depression. So they took advantage of that and to use that as a stormwater. But that just shows you that a lot of the forest, the good forest, has been removed already for good wood. The next slide, please. So this just sewer and water is available from the county outside, and they're outside. The top left corner shows they're outside the wellhead protection area. The parcels are served by sewer, county sewer in the West Fenwick district. In fact, they're pretty convenient manholes that are nearby, so there won't be any pump stations that are required. And so that shouldn't be an issue. Artesian water, and I think it's in your booklet, is their willing and able letter. I think it's tab 7. So Artesian's willing and able to provide the water for the property. Your booklet, you also, in Vista's tab C, is the 99C compliance. You know, the lion's share of that you're all familiar with, so I won't go through it all. Deals with the traffic, the stormwater, the sewer, and the water. There's really no other controversies about the other issues. Um, So when you do a cluster in an HR district, it does require environmental assessment and public facilities. That was addressed in tab C and also tab G more fully in the booklet. It covers the issue of the drainage design. There's really no point to go through it again since C, but it's in the record and it describes all those elements in much more detail about the water, the wastewater treatment, the analysis of increased traffic. All that information is in there, which resulted in the recommendation to have the right turn lanes. There's no endangered or threatened species known of. They're protecting the wetlands. They're providing ample open space, at least provided by the code. The economic impact on this will improve the tax base for sure and employment. There's recreation that's available. There's no historical or cultural resources that are known that'll be damaged or any way. So let me just talk about, I think, what you've seen already. If you could see the next slide, please. We're in the state strategy section, mostly in level three, part of level four to the north, which doesn't make a lot of sense, but it's surrounded by that. But level three calls for growth in anticipated areas and to concentrate in areas where there's sewer and water located, which there are in this case. Even in the DLDOT's engineer's report, they say as far as the state strategies plan, state strategies compatibility, the proposed site is located within the investment level three and four. Level three consists of areas adjacent to fast-growing areas. Therefore, the proposed development is consistent with the 2020 update of the comp plan. In reference to the comp plan, I've already spoken that it's a in a coastal area, a range of housing types are appropriate in a coastal area. The coastal area density, and this is in the comp plan, says it should be medium and higher density can be appropriate in certain locations in coastal areas. Medium and higher densities could be supported in areas where there is central water, there are in this case, near sufficient commercial uses and employment centers. This down the road to the east, it fits that bill somewhat with the commercial development, where it is in keeping with the character of the area. And we'll talk a little bit more about that because there's been a lot of approval of MR in this area. Where it is along the main road or near a major intersection, which is Route 54. Again, DLDOT's engineering concludes as far as the comp plan, the Sussex County Comprehensive Plan states that the coastal growth areas are the most desirable location for new housing. Therefore, the proposed development is consistent with the Sussex County Comprehensive Plan. Not in a flood zone. I think we can go to the next slide, please. This slide shows what's happened in the area. The commission might probably has improved that because they've approved some of these projects. You see where they're located in the middle. And if you look at the south, you see Bayside Melson property, which is an MR, and it has duplex. It's 3.6 density to the left of that, sort of more east of the new road is Bay Knowles, which is MR, which is 3.8. The Long property, which I mentioned at the beginning at the outset of the presentation, which is the, they had a conditional use for condominiums, is 2.89. You see underneath them is all Bayside Community, which is MR. Arlington Woods is on the north or the west side of MR down the street, closer to Zion Church. And there at an MR at 7.2. Up Zion Creek, you have Seashore Villas, which is HR, which is 6.7 units per acre. Ashley Manor, which is 3.5. And then you have Swan Keys, and Swan Keys up the way, that's a AR single family. And Fox Haven up to the left off of Zion Church Road, which is a GR. So it almost could argue it's sort of infill in that area, what's been going on around there. So with that said, I've prepared three findings and conditions, and obviously they overlap a little bit in those conditions, that is the conditional use and the subdivision conditions for for what's going on there, because it's treated almost like it's one subdivision when this thing got going. And I will submit them to the commission, if I may, Mr. Chair. I have six copies of each, for what's that worth?
Sure, you're all gonna read them right now, right?
Are they the same that's in the packet?
Well.
I do have a question on if that's the case.
I was always taught not to bring them over because they're proposed, and we never know what's actually gonna happen, and, yeah, I was taught wrong, but.
Well, in the packet, I'll just go ahead and ask a question.
You know, I think we're to that point, are you ready for us to ask some questions?
Absolutely.
Okay, go ahead.
Okay, in our packet, it's suggesting 220 units for the, in the proposed conditions.
Yeah.
But the application's for 213, is that correct?
Correct, and that was amended. Rich might be able to speak closer to that, but at some point during it, it was reduced to 107 and 106.
Okay.
If you want more detail why that happened, I don't know what the communication was.
That's okay, as long as everybody's on the same page.
No, it's definitely, and the conditions proposed in the coastal cluster conditional use and the subdivision clearly state that. There'll be 53 duplex units and 107 single families. So let me.
We may need to make some copies, if I could.
Got more. I don't think I gave them all out. How many do you need?
It's easy if we just make five copies of the deck and just so.
Okay. So that's all I have. I could maybe introduce Mr. Garufi if he has anything you want to add. So you have to stand up here and just state your name. You've heard my representations.
Yeah.
You've just heard my representations. Were they true and correct to the best of your knowledge?
Yes, they are. Yes.
They might.
Sir, if you're going to testify, I need you to state your name, please.
Russell Garufi.
Okay.
I live across the street from the property, and when I first started in this endeavor, I started enjoying it because we do have some drainage issues there, and I feel that this is going to drastically improve that, which will help my neighbors also, because I've been there 20 years and I know a lot of the people in the area, and I think it'd be good for everybody.
All right, well, Ms. Wingate, anything further?
I do have a couple more questions.
Okay.
In the JMT letter on page 47, the referencing 114 units, can somebody explain that to me, or should it be combined 114? Because there's two separate lines there. I don't know if the study was based on 114 units is my question.
Yeah, go ahead. Sorry. For the record, my name is Rich Polk with Vista Design. When this project was originally contemplated, it had 114 single-family detached. It was reduced by seven, down to 107 last November. That was done to avoid an area of non-regulated wetlands, which we had previously lotted in, and we removed those lots just to avoid any confrontation or any confusion. And that's how we've gone from the 220 down to the 213. So the original traffic study was done at the higher number, and we're actually proposing less today.
So if it's done on 114 units, but you're proposing.
Well, it was 114 single family, and then the full amount of the duplex units.
All right, I just wanted clarification. Okay. Can we put up the map that shows the, what am I looking for? Open space. Just curious how that was. Where it shows the numbers for the, yeah. So the green is showing the open space calculations, but really that's part of the wetland. So that was calculated as part of that. Is that right?
The open space includes basically the 30-foot buffer, the stormwater ponds, the wetlands that are preserved, as well as other open space spread throughout the community.
Be remiss if I didn't say I don't know that that's considered open space for those little corners behind the lots. And then I have a question on the southern portion, the 13.76 acres. Was that included in the open space, or will that remain open space because it's not part of the Marlin Cove. The green section that's the bottom. It's shown on one of the maps that we have, 13.76 acres. It's part of Atlantic Builders and not part of Marlin Cove. It's not referenced as Marlin Cove. Speak to that.
I guess I'm confused where the 13.76 are.
It's on your site plan.
I believe the 13.76 acres reflects the addition of the two southern parcels, which is parcel 7 and parcel 8.01.
It's this. So there's some of the lines that are on there. I'm not sure what that.
Total of, basically it's parcel 7, which is 13.76 acres.
So it's part of Marlin Cove and
it
not part of
Marlin Cove. And if you look on the map, that 13.7 acres is this whole parcel.
Okay.
So it's this. So when we computed the open space, the 13.76, we only considered the areas of that that are not.
But I didn't want it to know. That's good. Okay.
It looks like that's an out parcel. That was, I think, the question, you know, because I think it's just in the way that was notated on
yeah.
the.
Yeah,
it has to be the way yeah, that the text yeah. was shown. But no, but that's really a designation for that whole parcel.
Yeah. I thought it was just a section. Area. Okay. That's.
Sorry about that.
No, that's okay. Just want to make sure what we're looking at. And I think that's probably all I have for now. Thank you.
Okay, Mr. Collins.
Yeah, I think there was some mention of DLDOT required improvements. Could you go through what they're requiring? Is it that road's basically a farm path with asphalt on it?
Yeah, right. I'm going to turn that over. Yeah, let me go back to the PowerPoint. I might be able to guide you through. Okay, go forward. We can go forward in slides. To slide 7. Okay, so as part of the traffic operational agreement that was agreed to with DLDOT, they required frontage improvements across the entire frontage of the development to include a right-of-way dedication on the Marlin Cove side. There'll be no improvements or dedication required on the east side of New Road. They wanted that road completely widened to DLDOT standards. So we are taking it, you know, basically from the edge and moving it over. We are also doing basically subdivision entrances, both at the north and the south entrance, to include right turn lanes into the neighborhood from southbound on New Road. They also required that we do a multi-use path along the entire frontage. They also looked at intersection improvements at Route 54 and have requested that we study and install a right turn lane from westbound 54 as well as a left turn lane from eastbound 54. I believe some of those improvements kind of coincide and kind of overlap with improvements of other developments on the south side of 54. We've already had conversations with those developers about kind of making sure that as those improvements are designed, they're designed for everybody.
I think Mr. Collins's question was a little more specific, okay? Could you bring up the paving section for the proposed for New Road? I think that will answer the question. I think everyone, my concern is that road as Colin so aptly described is not a lot more than a dog path right now, and it needs to be substantially widened for this to even be a consideration. And I would like you to walk the commission through that so that we can understand what it is that you intend to do to New Road. Okay? Absolutely.
So this is an enlargement of the northern entrance, with north being to the left of the page and south being to the right of the page. And basically beginning at the, basically what's shown here is the existing light, the light gray that you see is the existing roadway. As part of the improvements, we are basically reconstructing the entire road. We are putting a bike lane along the shoulder. We are improving both lanes so that they are meet satisfied DLDOT criteria for width and pavement depth.
And what are those numbers, just so we know? Isn't it a 5-foot shoulder and 11-foot travel lanes? Is that right?
Basically, yeah. I mean, that's exactly what we're talking about. We're talking about a 5-foot, basically, shoulder slash bike lane, two 11-foot lanes, and then basically a bike lane going in the other direction. In the vicinity of the entrances, we're also proposing 11-foot wide turn lanes for cars to decel before they pull into the entrances.
And according to your paving section, the current roadway, total width of the roadway is only about 17 or 18 feet. Is that right?
That is correct.
Okay.
And again, all of the on this graphic, the light gray is the existing roadway. You'll see that all of the improvements, except for part of a little bit of a bike lane, is on the Marlin Cove side of the road. There is no proposal for disturbance or additional right-of-way or anything on the east side or disturbing those homeowners on the east side of New Road. Again, this is Mr. Garufi's home, doesn't want to impact his neighbors, therefore everything is being proposed onto the...
Well, he doesn't want to impact his neighbors. He also doesn't want to have to negotiate with them, so he's better off to do it all on his own property. Sure. I appreciate you keep saying that over and over again, but it's not like you're doing us a favor. I mean, it's your development. You guys need to build the improvements on your side of the road, not inconvenience all the neighbors on the other side.
And this, all these improvements, which will make the road substantially safer, they then just stop at the end of the development, leaving the farm path for the rest of the road. Paved part farm path, but still farm path.
That is the current limits of the requirements of DLDOT. I can't, DLDOT is known when you get to the finish line, basically to say we want you to overlay the entire road, and that is something that they can put on at any time. That's not something that we can dispute at that point. It's, you want your approval, that's what they may require.
So they could require that?
They absolutely could. As we get to the finish line, they could require additional improvements.
While we're talking about the road, I have one question, because I see we have one letter of opposition, which is about drainage and concerned about drainage. So how would you propose to remove the water off the roadway and get it? So this here says during a thunderstorm, basically the roadway will flood. Get back to it. Just so I can address this concern here, because we do have one letter of opposition.
We can move one. Right now, as Mr. Linnae talked about, Roy Creek drains the farm fields to our west, mm-hmm. through the property at approximately this location. When it gets to a point where it has to cross underneath New Road, it's a crushed 12-inch corrugated metal pipe. What happens is any amount of flow that comes to it can't get through. It backs up and crosses over the road.
Yeah.
DLDOT acknowledged that. We acknowledged it during the traffic operational assessment, and they have placed a requirement on the development to basically improve that crossing. So as part of our design, we will have to study Roy Creek in its entirety and actually propose a pipe that will adequately convey upstream drainage underneath the road to prevent the road topping.
And it's pretty much ditching down the side or swale down the side of the road?
No, basically Roy Creek continues off in an easterly direction. So basically the what's causing the New Road to overtop is water from the west coming to New Road not being able to cross underneath. So what's happening is it's flooding up and it's crossing over and then continuing on downstream Roy Creek. What we're trying to do is to improve that crossing as well as the ditches on our property so that the water from the west conveys across the property underneath the road and gets to an adequate outfall.
All right, thank you. I just wanted to, just seemed like a concern. I just want to make sure it gets addressed. Thank you.
I didn't have any other questions. Thank you.
No. Father, anything further?
No more questions.
Okay. Staff, anything? Okay. White House?
None for me, thank you.
Okay. Counselor?
Just on that, it's just a question that comes to mind, but because it looks like the creek, and I forget the name of it, Mr. Polk, but where does it go to on the other side of New Road? Because it looks like, you know, from where that drawing is, it dead ends into a lot in whatever that is, Fenwick West or whatever development it is.
Probably the easiest thing, if we can go to the next to last slide. And you can kind of see what, this is obviously proposed Marlin Cove. Here's Roy Creek crossing of New Road. Once it departs New Road, it crosses through the forest at this area, then eventually crosses underneath the 54 and daylights between the, forget which hole that is, on the Americana Bayside property and the Kenwick Sound development. So, you know, basically we're picking this water up, improving its conveyance to the other side of New Road, because right now New Road culvert is acting as a, basically a dam. It can't get to the other side. It's got to pond up before it gets over. Therefore, every time it rains, it ponds up. Cars go through the road. They create potholes. It just becomes a mess.
Yeah, I guess it was hard to tell looking at that map and the tax map and where the lots were and everything else. Just on the record, because somebody's bound to ask, I imagine that the damming it up also, though, that probably has some beneficial result on the downstream portions to get to Bayside where the ultimate outflow is. If that blockage is removed, is that going to adversely affect the downstream areas, or can they handle it? Because now they're all of a sudden going to get water they probably didn't have before.
No, I think what we're seeing is, if you go out and look at the culvert that's kind of conveying it right now, it's half full of silt, the other half is completely blocked. Between the invert of Roy Creek as it approaches New Road and the top of the road, there's about a foot, maybe 12 inches. Okay. What we're proposing to do is, as part of the improvement of the ditch, we're going to take it down to a proper elevation so that it actually can go through, but we're not going to change the elevation of the flow through there, and it's basically not going to change the negatively impact downstream areas.
Okay. Doesn't the Soil Conservation District require you to chase that water all the way to its ultimate destination now, or no?
You mean to an outfall?
Yeah. Don't they require you to track it all the way?
Absolutely. I mean, we have to show how it can get there, yes. We have to show that it can get there, and that's part of the engineering that we will have to do.
So well past where your property is, it's going to cross, it's going to convey across other people's property, and I think my understanding of the regulation is that you have to demonstrate that that does not cause a problem.
Correct. We have to show that it doesn't cause a problem for 10 times downstream.
Okay. And then the only other question, this may be, and Mr. Paul, you can come back to the podium just so we can pick you up better. It's sort of neither here nor there with the land use, although it may play a role. I guess my question is, why were, if you're going for a multifamily conditional use with duplexes, and there's going to be two duplexes on each lot, which means those are going to be, each one's going to be its own one-off condominium, why wouldn't it have been 106 multifamily condominium units? It seems like that would have been a whole lot easier to do. Not so much on the land use side, but just on creating the condominium side, you know, just asking that question.
We weren't really looking to do condominiums. The intent is for 106 fee simple duplex units.
But you only have 53 lots. You would need 106 lots to do that, or else you have to create condominiums on two condominiums on each lot.
When we came in and initially talked to staff, we kind of laid out how we wanted to do it, and we had options for RPC and the way that we were doing it. The way it was described was to do it very similar to the way that Bay Forest, Bay Knowles is doing it down the street, which they have they have like two lots in lotted as two together.
Right, but like if they, and I'm not familiar enough with that, but if they had 106 units, do they have 106 lots. You know, like you have a six-pack of townhouses, you can have it a condominium, and I know you know this, or you can have it on individual lots, and they're skinny lots, but each unit sits on a lot. Here you've got one lot with two units on it, and short of having 106 lots, it seems to me you're going to have to create condominiums. I mean, that's not a zoning question. That's a how are we going to set up a condominium ownership question.
Yeah. I mean, the answer is probably should have been, or an RPC. But, I mean, they'll be in fee. Each townhouse will be in fee. I mean, each duplex unit will be in fee, so it won't be a condominium. It has to be.
Well, but here's my point. I understand that. But is each duplex – so you have a duplex with two units in it. Is each unit going to sit on its own lot?
Yeah, it has to.
Well, then how come you have 53 lots? You would have needed 106 lots to do that.
Well, it's going to have to be – you'll see, and we've had this conversation.
Yeah.
And believe me, Mr. Fuqua and I had this conversation. You're channeling him. You all are. But there's a faint line that they had prepared through those, which, you know, the party wall is what it's going to have to be, and those lots have to be a minimum of 3,363. It just came out that way, which is confusing because it's like not a cluster. It should be totally separate.
Yeah,
you
right.
get it. The answer no, is it
yeah.
should have been that way. We didn't want to turn back the clock. We talked to Mr. Whitehouse, and not that you said it's right or wrong or anything, but we were here, and so I don't think we're going to answer the question other than it should be. But the plan is you'll own your duplex. I mean, you'll own your unit, duplex unit. So it won't be a condominium. You'll own that unit in fee, and that's how the final site plan will be. It will be a lot.
Well, here's the problem with that, though, is that you all have applied for 53 lots within that multifamily section of the plan. You're not going to get 106 individual lots for each unit of the duplexes.
So what you're saying is we'll have to condominiumize each lot.
I think you would, yeah, yeah.
That's the only way you can divide the lot. You can't, it's one lot with two living
rooms. No, I understand.
Yeah.
I've had this conversation.
Yeah.
So I think from a procedural standpoint, you know, clearly we submitted restrictions and covenants with the idea of they possibly could be split. They should be. It's got to be one or the other.
Right. Yeah, and I don't, like I said, I don't know that that impacts necessarily the land use side of it. It just more makes life really difficult because you've got 53 individual little condominiums, you know, so because they're all on each lot's going to be its own common elements with two, you know what I mean? It's like almost 53 little condominium associations because you've subdivided it.
Ideally, if there's a way to amend the application to, you know, show it what it is, it's 106 lots, you know, that's really what it should be.
Well, and you've applied for 106 multifamily units, but with what you've applied for and what you said you're trying to do, I don't know that that matches up. You know, like if you, what you described as having each unit on its own fee simple piece of land is not going to happen with what you've applied for.
I understand.
But you can get there.
That's why I asked the question procedurally. I'm trying to keep this alive. And I think to some extent the fact that the county's got to approve the zoning, there may be time to do that.
It may not be necessary. It may just make, you know, when you go to develop it and sell it, that's way more complicated, you know, but anyhow.
Well, either way, your point, we've considered that either it's going to be condos or we're going to have to split them, so I understand.
Okay.
Maybe that explains
Seems like I always get the odd ones, don't I?
There were so many squiggly lines on this site plan, I was trying to figure out maybe that's why.
Mr. Willard, I'm going to say something actually in your defense and help you out, and it's only because from my own bitter experience at times, you know, and don't just say to the applicant and his engineer, it's always better to call the lawyer in the beginning than it is in the end, because this is an engineer's solution that we're looking at. It's not a lawyer's solution. A lawyer would have had an RPC, would have crossed this condominium bridge long before. But we are where we are. You're not asking for anything that isn't allowed in the code, so you're certainly allowed to do it this way, and this is the way we're doing it. So that's all we really need to say about this, and the issues that it causes for you later are going to be all yours. Okay? They're not going to be ours. So
So we have to address the business that's in front of us, and we're certainly going to do that. Any more questions from the commission or?
No, sir.
Okay, then. Well, let's see if there's anyone here that has an interest in your application. I suspect there might be one or two. Is there anyone here that would like to speak in favor of conditional use number 2016 Martin Cove LLC, conditional use, change of zone 2016 Martin Cove LLC, conditional use number 2459 Martin Cove LLC, or subdivision 2023-08 Martin Cove? Anyone in favor? Anyone that would like to speak in opposition? Who would like to go first? Yes, ma'am. You have to come up here and give us your name, and you can ask all the questions you want.
Hi, I'm Missy Nalawak. I'm next door neighbor to Russ Garufi.
Okay.
And I'm not familiar with all of this plan, so I have to ask you the question.
Sure.
You asked
yep.
Okay.
Yep.
Is this a total community under a common maintenance? My concern is that we have duplexes with individual owners that can do whatever they want in their yard. That's gonna be high density compared to what we are accustomed to there. So I'd like to keep the setting and the feel as close to possible as what it is, but understand Mr. Garufi's right to develop the property.
Okay. Anything else before you go? I will ask them to answer that question for you.
And I would like to know about the buffer. The surrounding, the outside of the community. Is there any plan for berm, lighting, planting, anything?
We'll get them to talk about it. Mr. Wheeler, are you taking note of these questions?
Because
you're going to get to answer them. Okay. If you'll come up, if you'd be kind enough, or someone from your team could be kind enough to come up and
maybe Rich can help me out answers. A little bit. I mean, our first question sort of dealt with what we were talking about a little bit. I did submit restrictions, sort of traditional ones, if you would. So how the owners will manage their property is still a little in limbo, whether they own it individually or one duplex is going to take care of their duplex. So, but they'll have to take care of the property they own.
Well, and I would just add for the benefit of the public that one of the conditions of approval, if it's approved, is certainly that there's, I don't know exactly how it would be worded, but there'd be a master homeowners association that would cover the entire property to make sure that it's all governed by that master association, so there is uniformity in terms of maintenance and appearance and everything. Yeah. So
that's the frontage.
The buffer, the 30-foot buffer that surrounds the property is intended to be made up primarily of existing forested areas. Any areas that are, just like every place else, any areas that are found to not have the sufficient or adequate number of trees or type of trees will be enhanced in accordance with the Sussex County Code.
How about, I think her question was also on New Road. I mean, you're gonna have the bike path and there'll be...
There is a bike path, but there is no buffer on that side of the road. Right now it's just the New Road and then the widening and then the multimodal path.
The building setback, yeah. The
building setbacks, yes, sir.
Okay, all right, who's next? Who else would like to speak? Yes, indeed, come on up.
My name is Rich DiBiase. I own a land in Fenwick West, and my lot, my land backs up to New Road. Two questions, or first one is actually when they widen the road, okay, when you pass the single family houses, there's a farm still there. Are they planning on going all the way down? I didn't see that mentioned. I know it's still owned by the Johnson family, if I'm correct.
I think they are obligated to improve the lot for the entire length of their property. At this point, I don't know that DelDOT is requiring them to go beyond their property.
So you're going to come, down wide, and then you're just going to go to a funnel.
Could be, unless they.
That's all DelDOT's requiring them at this point.
Yes, it depends on what DelDOT ultimately requires, but that is what you're saying is a possibility.
Well, isn't that kind of foolish? I mean, if you have that high density, I mean, I live on a property where my house is on a half an acre, and I hear it was what 3.5 per acre. Isn't that so many people in that one area, and then you're going to come to a funnel on Route 20. It's just a concern, and I'm not happy with this. I think it's well overpopulated. It's just another classic example of American greed. That's my opinion, because there's so many houses right there on that chart. There's no room. Whatever happened to the you know, home owning, you know, land owning? There's no land in between these houses. It's just all house, and that's my concern. Thank you for listening.
Yes, indeed. Thank you. Thank you for coming. Okay, who's next? Who would like to be next? Okay.
My name's Ellen McGee, and my address is 34857 Lighthouse Road, Selbyville, Delaware, 19975. Our farm has been in the McGee family for 160 years, since 1865 this year. And I believe that this will impede our property rights. I rent the farm out for deer hunting. You have to be 150 yards from a dwelling. There is not enough buffer for me to be able to do that. We have an active farming operation all hours of the day and night. We spread manure, we hunt, we shoot guns, and it's a way of life. And in this immediate block, there's probably 200 to 300 acres up around. We're not in Selbyville, we're not in Fenwick, we're not in Bayside. You're on the other side of the road.
White House, could you take the cursor and just indicate where Ms. McGee's property is, just so.
So we own some houses along there that join this property also.
There you go.
You wanna? My sister-in-law, she owns to the east. Yeah. So it's a large area that if this is passed the way it's presented, to me it's the worst case of raping the land that I've seen in a long time. He's entitled to 2 units to the acre. And I think that's what he needs. He's not, that's his property rights. Yes, Bayside has all they have down there, but this is on this side of the world now. And all you're doing is pushing sprawl. I have 3 sons and I have 6 grandchildren, and hopefully it'll be a farm for the next 160 years. Hopefully, but I'm opposed to it. Again, I think 2 units to the acre is sufficient. That road, I've been in Williamsville for 47 years, and yeah, the other, 2 weeks ago, a bus got stuck on that road. So it's just, that's too much. If each person has 2 cars, and I know we don't in the county look at roads, but you're looking at 500 cars. They already back up on Saturdays past our farm trying to go to the beach. There's no amenities. 1 pool for 230 homes. I mean, you have no open space. I just think it's a very poor design. I do believe everybody has a right to develop their land if they wish to. But I believe that he's asking for, he's overreaching for what he wants. And the climate now is sick of it. So that's what I have to say.
All righty. Well, thank you.
Thank you.
Indeed. Okay, who's next? Anyone else like to speak? Okay, anyone on the commission have any further questions or thoughts that they want to share?
No, sir.
All right, then. If not, we'll close the public hearing. We'll invite you to remain with us for the rest of the evening, see if we make a decision, or you may wish to call the office in the morning. Thank you.